bastard star. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Joe Montone.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Finding God in Prison. My name is Joe Montone, your host. We're here at Holy Spirit Radio, December 5th, 2018. In preparation for Christmas, we want to welcome you to Holy Spirit Radio and WISP, WCOJ, 1570 a.m. and 1420 a.m. It is a privilege and a pleasure to be here back on the air, celebrating really soon to be Christmas Day. We're now in the Advent season, and God bless you and God bless your families. We pray that you will be prepared for Christmas. And this is a special time of the year, my friends, to really focus in on what it is we really need to do to get ready for the coming of our Lord. And with that, I just want to let you know that, again, my name is Joe Montone, your host, and I want to take a moment to thank Frank for producing our show today, and for Dale and Jane for having me back on the air, and for all of our donors who have supported us here at Finding God in Prison and Holy Spirit Radio. Today is a special day, and as you know, in Finding God in Prison, we're always focusing on the success we're having with men who are being discharged, and men who are in formation, basically changing their lives, who have served time or who have dedicated their lives to criminal activity or using or selling drugs. And before we get started and really go back to talk a little bit about our successes, I want to let you know that our show today is dedicated to ex-President George W. Bush. George Herbert Walker Bush, for his tremendous accomplishments. He passed away, as you know, recently, and we just want to dedicate our show to him today for all that he did for our nation and for the world. And so with that, we just pray for his family today as they mourn the loss of, a wonderful man who was just tremendously in his ability to touch other people. He touched so many people throughout the world, and we can learn so much from his life and all that he did to bring peace to the world and love to the world, a man of great faith. And so, again, our show will be dedicated to President George Herbert Walker Bush today and his family. So with that, my friends, I want to let you know that today is December 5th. And as we prepare for the Christmas season, we want to just highlight that we are doing well in the WINGS program. And we're over at CFCF on State Road in Philadelphia. And we have a class of 30 men we're working with today. And it's been really, really a great progress that we've been making in the last couple of weeks. We're due to graduate on February 11, 2019. And who would have thought that we'd be here actually 25 years later still doing the WINGS program? You know, the WINGS program was born in early December 1993 when I was called to come out and do a career day at Olney Elementary School. And, you know, it was just such a fascinating opportunity to touch the hearts and minds of our children that I really enjoyed it. And I went out and did this motivational talk for a group of fourth and fifth graders that led to really years and years of going into more than 100 schools and 8 prisons and many recovery homes. And here we are today actually beginning our 26th year in the WINGS program. And that is a long time. And as we, you know, continue with the work, you know, and there is no shortage of work because there are many, many people who are incarcerated today. And although the WINGS program has had much success, you know, the work continues. And with God's help, we look forward to, you know, many more years of service for the Lord. And so to begin our program, I just want to, you know, let you know that this current class that we have of 30 men has been very, very interesting. a lot of the men are really focusing on making changes in their lives and putting their lives back together. As the WINGS program is a life-changing program, our focus is to help men to really rebuild their lives to include their faith, their family, their community service, and their education, their work, their hobbies, and sports. It's all important. And our job is to help them to get their priorities straight, use their time well, and go back and try to, you know, restore some of those relationships that have been broken over time. And with that, in the WINGS program, we have many men who have really been, you know, really changing along the way, going from depression into being motivated. Men who are doing burglaries and home invasions who are now working. And, you know, it's been very, very gratifying and rewarding to see the changes that men are making as a result of finding their faith. And this is, you know, a special time of the year as we focus on the Lord's coming to help bring the love of God through the birth of Christ into the prisons themselves in a strategic way to help touch the hearts and minds of our men. And, you know, as we prepare, I just want to share with you a little bit about, you know, our reading from last week in the church, our gospel reading, the Gospel of Luke, Luke 21, verses 25 to 28, which was focused on whether or not we are ready for the Lord's coming, the Son of Man coming. And I just tell you that in the Gospel of Luke, the Lord helps us to prepare for the day when the Son of Man will arrive. He wants us to be ready to escape tribulation, to be strong enough to face the Son of Man. And the question I have for you today, my friends, as I pose to our friends also inside prison, are you ready? What are you doing to prepare for that day? In the day-to-day of life, how are you getting ready for the moment when the Lord will appear to you and hold you accountable for all that you have or have not done? And if you haven't begun to prepare, then how are you and I going to get ready? What changes are we going to make to get ready to greet the Son of Man with open arms? My brothers and sisters, the Lord tells us to beware that our hearts do not become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of life, and have that day catch you by surprise like a trap. Is this us? Does this description fit our lifestyle? Have we committed to the Lord's ways, or are we actively pursuing what we call in the WINGS program WFG, what feels good? What changes do we have to make? What is the number one change that we have to make to align ourselves with God? What is distracting us? Or even more importantly, who is taking us away from our Lord? There was a man once in the WINGS program who had 8 DUIs. And remember, the WINGS program is an inmate reentry and recovery program. So we've been to many prison facilities, but also many recovery homes after 25 years. And this gentleman had 8 DUIs and had been in 5 car accidents. His head had physically gone through 5 windshields. He lost his job, his family, and friends. And however, he had survived and was still alive. His number one priority in life was to drink alcohol. This was what felt good to him, so he drank every day. After many years of incarceration and recovery programs, this man is now clean and sober. By changing his priorities and placing them in a different order and putting God number one, he was empowered to control his drinking and eliminate the one destructive habit that destroyed many years of his life. For all things are possible with God, Luke 1:37. And this is very, very important. On the day of the Lord's coming, will you and I be surprised? In the past, there were times when we as a nation were surprised. A good example of this was on December 7, 1941, the bombing of Pearl Harbor. A second example was on September 11, 2001, the bombing of the World Trade Center. What are the consequences of being unprepared for the coming of the Son of Man? What can we do to prepare better? Years ago, I met a man at a breakfast table who was retired and very fortunate to be living on three pensions. At the table, there were three men. The first man was half paralyzed for 10 years due to a stroke. The second man was the man who was now living on three pensions and retired. And then there was me. As our breakfast was served, the retired man began to tell us about how he had plenty of money and was now receiving three pensions every month. He went on and on bragging about his financial position. After a few minutes, I said to him, "That's really great. You're blessed. You have financial independence. So you're retired now and in good health, and you're financially comfortable. Let me ask you a question. What do you do with your time?" He said to me, "Well, I can do anything I want to do." "Yes, I know," I responded, "but what do you do with the 168 hours that are available each and every week?" He said to me, "Well, I have coffee with the guys once a week, and I can see my daughter anytime I want." I then asked him, "But what else do you do?" And there was no answer. Although the retired man was blessed with good health, financial independence, and the gift of free time, he truly wasn't using his blessings to serve the Lord. Was he prepared for the Lord's coming? 2 years after that breakfast, this man unfortunately was taken ill and diagnosed with cancer and passed on. Nobody knows his level of faith, but was he prepared? Had he done what he had to do to prepare for the coming of the Son of Man? If you don't use the blessings, sometimes you may lose the blessings. God gives it, and sometimes God can take it away. So today, my friends, I want to just pray that you and I, that we will adhere to the Gospel of Luke and take action today and this month to prepare well and to plan ahead for the Son of Man and his glorious arrival so that we can greet him with open arms. And those are two stories, my friends, that I just wanted to share with you based on the Gospel of Luke, which was our gospel this past Sunday in preparation for Advent. And it is a blessing to be here once again on the air with you at Holy Spirit Radio, sharing some of the magnificent miracles and things we have seen in the Wings program. And as we go back to 1993, again, we see, you know, the Wings program in formation with character education and family education, a focus on the family. And as God designed the Wings program, he actually placed me into the heart of the pro-life movement and helped me to become a great advocate for the pro-life movement, for the unborn child, and advocating for life and for family life. Advocating for, things to end abortion, laws to end abortion and partial birth abortion and embryonic stem cell research, suicide, assisted suicide, the death penalty, you know, and the Wings program went on for years into 100 schools, many prisons. You know, that pro-life element of the Wings program is now session 10 in our 20-session, 10-week program that is geared to hit the hearts and minds of our men who are negligent, if you will, in the area of family life. Men who have as many as 27 children or 10 children with 8 different women. And our job is to educate them and to motivate them to really make better decisions, better choices with regard to children and women and family life itself. And this is how God designed the Wings program. Now in its 26th year, can you imagine that we are still here and moving forward after 8 prison facilities, including the Bucks County Youth Detention Center, Graterford Prison, St. Gabriel's Hall, the ISP program over in Trenton, New Jersey, the pre-release program for more than 1,250 inmates, the Mid-State Correctional Facility, and the Albert C. Wagner facilities. These are the facilities we've been to, as well as a host of different recovery homes. And, you know, we've lost more than 50 people in the WINGS program over 25 years. And our work continues. 11 people have gone just in the last 7 years, and so due to an overdose of heroin. So our work, you know, is, continuing day in and day out, year in and year out. And as we begin a new year, the year 2019 coming up, we wanted to let you know that, you know, these men who we work with are appreciative of the time that we give them. And basically, you know, a lot of them have made significant changes, changes in decision making, changes in discipline, changes from not working to working on the books. One of the great focuses for us. But when we talk about family life, you know, it's that separation from their children, where we see as many as 50 kids who are the children of the men in our present class who are separated from their fathers. And basically our job is to help them to see the light and to see that light shine brightly and to help them to get home and to stay home. You know, the number one goal in the WINGS program is to get men home early. And we do that by getting a favor from the judge based on putting a 50-hour, 10-week, 20-session program together and completing that with writing assignments, helping the judge to see the substance and to get to the heart of the man. And when we've done that, we made some changes. The judges very often will bless us with a reduction in time, early parole, work release, house arrest, reduction in bail. And this is, you know, a special program. A lot of the judges like programs. They appreciate programs like a GED program, a parenting program, the WINGS program, an options program, which is geared for drug and alcohol rehab. So we're right up there making an impact on the hearts and minds of the men, as well as the actual prison system itself, which has been reduced from 8,600 down below 7,000 total people incarcerated in Philadelphia. But again, the focus on the family is so important. And as we look at the children of inmates, we find that about 4 out of 10 children of inmates will become inmates one day. So one of the great goals for us is to try to get to the men, to wake them up, give them a wake-up call, and to help them to make better decisions to secure their freedom once they come home. And to do that by going to work or going to school for a trade and then going to work either for a union or non-union job. And we also have, you know, agreements with second chance employers to help them to secure entry level as well as management positions in time. And, you know, we've been blessed with a host of different people who have agreed to help us in the WINGS program. So this is a blessing. But again, to secure the freedom of a man is an art. And to do that so that he can be with his children once again. So to get the men to make better decisions, we have to spend quality time each and every week helping them to see the light, to wake them up, so to speak. And again, we are rooted in the Word of God. For 25 years, the Word of God has guided and directed the WINGS program. And this is, you know, something that we cannot go without. The Word of God is the power in the WINGS program. We also use aviation analogies from my background as a pilot, aviation safety inspector, director of training, and a host of different positions in different airplanes over the years. But I tell you, the men enjoy that aspect of it because it's interesting. It's motivational. It requires 100% accountability. Otherwise, people can get killed. And so we use that aviation analogy to try to help men to secure their captainship, their manhood, and many of them actually do that. You know, you're not going to get everybody, but we get most of the men. And I just share that with you because a lot of people ask me, you know, how do you do that? How do you get men to change? And the key is really to get to the heart of a man. And you just can't point the finger and say, you have to do this. You've got to touch them in the heart. And if you touch them in the heart, very often you have opportunity to continue to touch them in the heart. And after a while, you're going to, impact that man in a special way. There was a man who was incarcerated out in San Quentin prison many, many years ago. His name was Stanley Tookie Williams. He was the founder of the Crips street gang. And Stan Williams was truly a wingman because he made changes while he was inside prison. And he was convicted of 4 homicides and eventually put to death. But, you know, before he did that, he made changes after being what we call in the hole for 6 years in solitary confinement. And while he was in the hole, he actually spent time reading the Bible, the dictionary, and later on, began writing books. He wrote a variety of different books and had a platform for the youth against gang violence. And so with that, we look at guys like Stan Williams as a role model for other inmates to make changes because he lived it, you know, in the streets and eventually was put to death. But before he was, he found God in the hole. And that's the essence of finding God in prison. Basically, we have men in prison that, you know, when you're isolated and you're by yourself laying on that bed with no privileges, it's just you and God. And it may take 6 years or 4 years or 4 months, but people are reaching out to the Lord himself and making changes, slow changes, methodical changes, objective changes, and looking at themselves. Some of the good will come out, you know, like St. Paul will make changes himself, who was a persecutor of many Christians. St. Paul was converted. And I love St. Paul because we did work on death row for 3 years with men convicted of as many as 4 homicides. And so St. Paul, you know, was blinded by the Lord. He saw the power of the Lord through the loss of his vision. And then was converted when the Lord gave him his vision back. He gave him his eyesight back. So he was not only physically blinded, but for his life, much like many of us, we are spiritually blinded and need that wake-up call. And that's what happened to St. Paul. And that's why we use him all the time, basically as a role model to follow with our men, because through conversion, St. Paul did amazing things for God. He went to the front lines without fear, and he touched the hearts and minds of millions of people. And he, you know, at the end of his life, he was put to death, and he was, a martyr for the cause. But I just tell you that many of our men, like St. Paul, experience conversion inside. And our job is to help them to take that conversion and move forward with it. By rebuilding, you know, a life of peace and joy and love, and to take guys who are greedy and make them generous. With the Lord's help, you can do it. To take guys who don't work, who rather do burglaries or home invasions or robbing and running, who don't work, and get them to go to school and to go to work, secure their freedom, and to get home every night for their kids, to see the responsible way of living as a man, as a father, as a husband, and to do it each and every day. And guys are changing. And I just thank the Lord for the opportunity to be just a vehicle by which the Wings program can get into those hearts and minds, because the Lord is the one who makes it all happen. Without him, you know, it just won't happen. And like, again, you know, St. Luke says in the Gospel of Luke, you know, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. So all things are possible with God. And that's just the blessing. You know, as we go through the program, again, my friends, you're listening to Joe Montone here at Finding God in Prison. This is a special time of the year. We're at Holy Spirit Radio. We are celebrating the Advent season, preparing for the coming of the Son of Man, preparing for Christmas Day. However, we are in the Advent season, and we look forward to the coming of our Lord, and I just pray that we will all keep focused on that versus the anxieties of life, like it says in the gospel from last Sunday. The anxieties of life, sometimes that we put that undue pressure on ourselves because of all of the shopping for Christmas, all of the extra pressure that we add to it. Keep it simple. Keep it simple and keep ourselves focused. Let's try to do it together so that we can experience the peace of God, the love of God, and then deliver that to other people. What a magical thing to bring the peace and love of God to other people. And it's hard to do if you're too busy, if your schedule in what we call the 168 is too busy. You've got to take the time to really clear out the week and make yourself, you know, clear-minded so that we don't put the Lord on the shelf and forget all about him. Forget about our Holy Family and how this all began many years ago, 2,000 years ago. This is a powerful time of the year, and, you know, we look forward to the joy of Christmas, Christmas joy, one of the topics in the Wings program. You know, we see a lot of people who are experiencing tough times right now. And we see it not only in prison walls, but outside prison walls where people are struggling because of the loss of a loved one this year. Or maybe somebody just got diagnosed with cancer or some other terminal illness. We see children who are in hospitals who are really struggling for survival. We see many people living in poverty. We see homeless, helpless, need food on the highways all the time. People are out there who are in poverty, who are living in poverty and not coming out of it because they have a pattern to basically ask for help versus to help themselves. And we have to help people, but we, like the Lord says, you know, you follow me, I will make you a fisher of men. Okay, you teach a man to fish, he can learn how to fish and basically provide for himself versus just providing, you know, fish for him for the day or food for the day. Teach him how to go to work and to do it for his family and for the community. The Lord says, you know, whatever you did for the least of my brothers, you've done it for me. And so we are encouraged to be strong and to provide, to become providers, all of us. And this is it. And in the book of James, it says a little bit about faith and works, you know, which is very important. And the Lord says, you know, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works, can that faith save him? If a brother or sister has nothing to wear and no food for the day, and one of you says to him, go in peace, keep warm and eat well, but you do not give him the necessities of the body, what good is it? So also faith of itself, if it does not have works, is dead. And this is important, you know, because we have an opportunity to help the Lord in taking care of other people. But first and foremost, we have to really strengthen ourselves mentally, physically, spiritually. We call that balance in the Wings program. And for 25 years, we've been trying to help people who were out of balance. You know, years ago, going into an eighth grade class, I realized that we have eighth graders and seventh graders who are struggling with depression and anorexia, bulimia, suicidal thoughts, a lack of self-esteem. And we have that today, as we did in the beginning 25 years ago. And so our job is to give a lot of hope and vision into the future through the Wings program, and it's done really by introducing them to a relationship with Jesus Christ and to get that, you know, into the priority list at the very top. So that's not the last thing in the week that we do, but it's the first thing that we do each and every day, you know, and the Lord really wants to be first. He doesn't want to be last. He's not going to force you to make him first, not going to force me. He wants you to want him. And this is the challenge we have in getting the message to the youth who are bombarded by social media and all kinds of distractions and messages. And our job is to help them you know, to keep it all straight. And, you know, my friends, as we go through our show today, we're about halfway through. I just want to take a moment to thank our listeners that you're listening to Joe Montone here at Finding God in Prison and Holy Spirit Radio. It is a privilege and a pleasure to be with you at 1570 AM, WISP, and 1420 AM, WCOJ. And we're just going to take a short break, and we will be back in a moment. God bless you.
My name is Joe Zimmerman, and my brother and I own Summers & Zims. We would be pleased to provide you with high-quality service for all your plumbing, heating, and air conditioning needs. We are pleased to serve the listeners in Westchester, Exton, Downingtown, Coatesville, and Kennett Square. Our phone number at Summers & Zims is 610-593-5129, or you can simply Google Summers & Zims. My prayer is that God would bless you through His Word as you listen to Holy Spirit Radio.
Okay, my friends, we are back here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. Welcome back, and I want to thank you for listening to our show today. Again, we are here at Finding God in Prison. It's December 5th, 2018, and the upcoming new year is just on the horizon. With only 20-somewhat days to go, I hope you are putting together your things that you need to do so that you are prepared and ready for the Lord's coming. And this is very important. Last week's messages, our readings, talking about getting ourselves prepared, aligned, standing erect, and not being caught in a trap, but being ready for the Lord Jesus Christ when He comes. And this is... one of the ways we can do it is by actually through the philosophies of the Wings program, we can help people to make the changes necessary. Again, what changes do you need to make? I want you to think about that and take action today. This is an action kind of a course, and our job is to help people to move forward into the new year really, truly ready, you know, to serve the Lord and to be a force for good. And so we just mentioned that, you know, it is the Advent season. We are now working with 30 men in the Wings program. We have a great letter that came in from one of our guys who was an 8-time graduate, Mr. Terrell Lang, who's upstate in Coles Township, who called me actually on Thanksgiving morning just to wish me a happy Thanksgiving and also send me a letter, as he does every Christmas season. But I just tell you, you know, this is a wingman, a guy who's made 8 changes. He's graduated 8 times, excuse me, but he's also, he has time to serve. He's got another 3 years to serve, but he is a personal friend and has done, you know, great work in the Wings program. And so we just want to, you know, pray for Terrell upstate and that, the Lord will bless him and circle him with good people, and will give him the joy of the Christmas season, as he is a wingman who has made the changes necessary, but he still has time to serve. One of the consequences of doing what God says not to do. And in the Wings program, as I said, on many of our programs, one of the great goals is to line up ourselves with what God says to do and what He says not to do. And Moses says it best in the book of Deuteronomy when he says, be careful. He says, be careful not to deviate to the left or to the right, but to do exactly as the Lord God tells you to do so that you can live and prosper. A second time he says, be careful to follow all the commandments I enjoin on you today so that you can live a life of increase. The life of increase is where you're getting things in life. You're not losing them. You're getting family and friends. You're getting a home. You're getting good work. You're blessed. You have good health. A life of decrease is when we lose our jobs. We lose our families. We lose our homes to the bank. And this is what happens when people are incarcerated. Very often they lose everything. And when people have lost everything, we pick them up. We begin to work with them to rebuild their lives from scratch. And it takes a lot of work. And we have to persevere through some of the challenges of waiting for trial, waiting for sentencing, serving time, separation from the children, from the wives, the babies' moms, separation from loved ones. This is hard to do. So we use everything we can to get people to, you know, make changes. And as we prepare, again, in the Advent season, I want you to walk away from this show, you know, with something that will help you to prepare for Christmas, for the Lord's coming, for the joy of the Lord. Okay, I want you to walk away with something you can use into the new year, for the full year. You know, a lot of people say, you know, with the new year coming, you know, my New Year's resolution is going to be to go to the gym and to work out. Many memberships are, you know, signed up for. And then by February, you know, half of those are not even used. And so we have to have something concrete. And the Word of God is like the rock, you know. And the Lord told Peter, you know, on the rock I will build my church. And he referred to him as the rock. And so, you know, we need to have something that we can walk away with today and we can use as we go through the Advent season in preparation for Christmas Eve and Christmas. And, you know, what can we take with us? You know, Mother Teresa said the greatest disease in the world was the lack of love. How much love can you and I bring to other people? In our day-to-day walk, are we bringing love or something else? Think about it. What can you bring to your family, to your friends? Life is tough. Everybody has a different cross they're carrying. Our job is to help ourselves and help other people the best we can. And this is, you know, the challenge for us all. Everyone has a different cross that they carry. But we have to persevere through. And in the book of James, the Lord says that the trials we go through, in the chapter 1 talks about the value of trials and temptations. He says, consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials. For you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let your perseverance be perfect, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and he will be given it. But he should ask in faith, not doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed about by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, since he is a man of two minds, unstable in all his ways. So in the book of James, the Lord's telling us that we're going to go through many trials. We're going to encounter many trials, whether it be a Monday or a Friday, a Saturday or Sunday. There'll be things coming our way that's going to steal your peace. And we've got to persevere through it. We've got to get through that challenge, that obstacle, that burden. We got to have it lifted. And so to do that, we need to be focused on the one person who can help us to get rid of that and to overcome that trial, whatever it is, and that's the Lord himself. He talks about wisdom. And if you don't have wisdom, you know, it's very clear that we're probably making the same mistake over and over and over again. The Lord says, if you need wisdom, you have to pray to God, ask him to give it to you, and he'll give it to you generously and ungrudgingly. But we have to ask in faith, not doubting. The faith has to be firm. It's got to be constant, continuous. It's got to be there 7 days a week, 168 hours a week. It cannot be that we're going back and forth. We're with the Lord when we want to be, and we don't want to be, we're not with him. We've got to be firm in our faith. We've got to be constant, continuous, and then ask him, and we will be given the wisdom to make great decisions, to learn from our mistakes, to learn from other people's mistakes. The brother in lowly circumstances should take pride in his high standing, and the rich one in his lowliness. But he will pass away like the flower of the field. For the sun comes up with scorching heat and dries up the grass. Its flower droops, and the beauty of its appearances vanishes. So will the rich person fade away in the midst of his pursuits. The Lord's telling you, again, keep him number one. Don't keep him last on the list and then strive for the money, power, prestige, whatever it is that you're working for, and then, be without him in the end. He says, so will the rich person fade away in the midst of his pursuit. He tells us, he lays it out very clearly, you know, and this is tough because we're human, we're vulnerable, you know. Coach Vince Lombardi said the quality of a man's life is directly proportional to his commitment to excellence. So I say if your faith, if you're striving to be, you know, excellent in your faith, you have to do things. You have to practice makes perfect. Then, you know, we're going to live a quality life in Christ. And I like to apply it that way because I think a lot of people leave the faith element out. But here in the book of James, we want to be real clear on the priorities and get them straight. As we go into the new year, we just want to see that people are making, you know, better choices, better decisions, and have their priorities straight. Very important. The book of James also talks about temptation. Blessed is the man who perseveres in temptation. When he has been proved, he will win the crown of life that he promised to those who love him. No one experiencing temptation should say, I'm being tempted by God. But God is not subject to evil, and he himself tempts no one. Rather, each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire conceives and brings forth sin, and when sin reaches maturity, it gives birth to death. What is your most vulnerable area or your greatest weakness? And what must you do to overcome it? I want you to take that question and run with it. Look at your vulnerable areas. What must you do to overcome it? Go into the new year. Go into the Christmas season. Go into Christmas Day, overcoming that vulnerable area with a plan for success, an action plan. Not just a plan, but plan that incorporates action, the steps necessary to succeed through and surpass, to overcome this vulnerable area, whatever it may be. Again, what must you do to overcome this temptation? And, you know, what must you do to get through that vulnerable area that will never go away? We are human. We are vulnerable. And so with the Lord's help, we can get through, just like St. Augustine and many of the saints who struggled with vulnerabilities. This is very important. So the book of James highlights a lot of great things with regard to perseverance in the times of trial and temptation, something very, very critical to our success, not only in reentry, coming out of prison walls, but in life itself. Because, you know, we are dealing with a lot of challenges today. We see more than 50% of the marriages in America have failed. We see, you know, like 75% of the second marriages have failed. And to succeed in family life, in marriage, it requires focus. And more people today, I believe, are getting married. But we need to be advocates of it. and it's no greater advocate can you be, you know, than a successful marriage. Speaking of which, as we opened and dedicated our program to President George H.W. Bush, who was married for 73 years, what a blessing to Barbara Bush. You know, he was a role model in the area of family life. And as I, you know, viewed the funeral and listened to the talks that were given by many of the people, he was characterized as an optimistic person. He was kind. He was tolerant. He was a patriot. You know, he basically gave back to the community. He valued character. He looked for the good in each person. He gave back again to the country. You know, he said failure is a part of living a full life, but don't let that failure define you. He loved to laugh, even at yourself. He was true and a loyal friend, a mentor, a father figure. He said, don't waste a day of your life. Be a good father and a good grandfather. You know, give the gift. He gave the gift of unconditional love. Something when we see the Lord himself at the top of the cross and give when he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And this is powerful. So, you know, President Bush had that gift, and he gave it to his family, his friends. And in the end, he was the best father a son could ever have. And that was said by George W. Bush, his son, today. And out of respect for his father, it was the last words he actually said to him on the telephone. And I just tell you that, you know, in watching this, I gained a lot of education and insight to not only this person who passed, but his entire, you know, family through his legacy touched many, many people. Not only here in the United States, but around the world. So we have dedicated our show today to President Herbert Walker Bush and his family. And it is a privilege to give our listeners that information. Really, it is a family who was rooted in Christ and try to live their lives in that way. So, my friends, as we go through the show now, we want to just go back to some of the things we were talking about, you know, with regard to our present class in the Wings program. We have some very unique individuals in the program, and one of the guys in the program, his number one change that he must make in preparation for the coming of the Son of Man is to be a better parent. And he has said that on several occasions. And so, you know, this is actively done when he comes home by re-engaging in family life in the day-to-day of life. The average father spends about 2 hours a day with his kids. So we need to spend more time Monday through Sunday, 7 days a week, more time with our kids. Even if they're not our kids, what impact can you have on your nieces and nephews, on other people's children? If you're a school teacher, if you are a teacher's aide, if you're out there as a coach, all right? I have a small saying I'd like to share with you. It says, 100 years from now, it will not matter what my bank account was, the type of house I lived in, or the kind of car I drove. But the world may be different because I was important in the life of a child. So, you know, I encourage you to become a mentor. Mentor your kids, your nieces, nephews, the kids in the community. Help them to, you know, succeed not only in business and careers, but in family life as well, in the area of faith, community service. It's very important. What can you do to mentor other people's children who may not have a parent there? What can you do? The Wings program was born in 1993 here in Philadelphia and has been out to many counties through television and radio. been to 100 schools, 8 prisons, many recovery homes, and, you know, the WINGS program has touched many, many people, which I'm so happy about because some of those people are actually now in their 20s and 30s and maybe even 40 years old, as it's gone from elementary schools where we began into high schools and universities at Temple University, the Upward Bound program. And we've been to various facilities. One of the things I found over the years is that, you know, if you don't get these messages across in our schools, very often kids will make mistakes and they will end up in either recovery home or incarcerated, and I'll be talking to them over there. So, you know, we look at this program as a prevention program as well by getting these messages across the radio waves. And thanks be to God for Holy Spirit Radio and the opportunity to touch people who are out there listening, okay, who have maybe a radio in their prison cell or maybe in a recovery home, and or maybe they are blind and cannot see television, but they depend on radio, like my grandmother, Michalina Amon. And so I just tell you that, you know, this is a very important message that we continue our work with the youth with the hopes of helping them to avoid things like incarceration, drugs and alcohol, DUIs, sexually transmitted diseases, early pregnancies, suicide, and a host of other things that we know are out there, my friends. You know, and as we prepare now for Advent and the coming of the Son of Man, you know, I want you to be motivated and ready, willing, and able to do whatever it takes to get on board with the Lord's ways of doing things. Keep it simple. And don't let the Lord down. Come through. Be a finisher, you know. And be a finisher. No one can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So we've got to think about, who are we serving? Where is the majority of your time being spent? Very important. That comes from Matthew chapter 6, verses 24. Through 25. Very important. It also talks about the light of the body. The lamp of the body is the eye. If your eye is sound, your whole body will be filled with light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be in darkness. And if the light is in you is darkness, how great will the darkness be? The Lord, you know, puts his light in all of us, and he gives us opportunity to shine brightly. Don't hold back this Advent season, this Christmas season. Don't hold back. It's December 5th, 2018. We're on the forefront of a new year. I challenge you to bring the light of Christ into the hearts and minds of your family, your friends, your communities. I encourage you to go out on a limb just a little bit and turn that light up a notch to bring the light of Christ into the hearts and minds of other people who may be suffering from depression, anxiety, fears, jealousy, who may be struggling with envy, selfishness, bitterness, hatred, lust, cynicism, anger, greed, pride, prejudice, and the superego. People who are struggling to make changes. It may be your light that is used to help them to see clearly down the road, okay, which way to go. So don't underestimate the Lord using you to touch other people. A little girl once asked her friend a question, "What is it like to be a Christian?" A friend said, "It's like being a pumpkin. God picks you from the pumpkin patch and brings you inside and washes off all the dirt. Then he cuts off the top and scoops out all the yucky stuff. He removes the seeds of doubt, hate, and greed. Then he carves you a new smiling face and puts his light inside you to shine for all to see. And this is what we call a pumpkin story. And I just share that with you because I think we have opportunity, my friends, to shine brighter. And I think we need to, you know, turn it up a notch. This nation is challenged with more than 90 million people not working, more than 48 million people on food stamps. We've got people on the sides of the road with signs saying homeless, helpless, need food, do anything for something. We have people incarcerated, more than 2.5 million people. We've got a lot of people struggling today with illnesses. What can you and I do? What can we do, my friends, to help everyone that we greet, everyone that we come in contact with, to prepare well for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, for the Christmas of lifetime, the second coming of our Lord? When he comes, will I be ready? Or will I be carousing or in drunkenness? What can I do to help others to prepare for that day? This is a real mission for all of us, my friends. And the Lord says, again, whatever you do for the least of your brothers, you've done it for me. And so we want to, you know, we want to get in the game. We want to, you know, be the arms and the legs of our Lord. We want to, you know, extend ourselves, extend our reach, jump a little higher, run a little faster, you know, and get the job done. Most of all, you've got to have the peace of God in your heart. Our Blessed Mother says, you know, if you have that peace, once you have it, you can share it with other people. And this is it. If you have peace, you can give it to other people. And she said, you know, Our Lady, you know, said in one of the sites, visionary sites, the apparition sites of Our Lady, she said that many of you believe that Jesus and I are not near you, but we are always very close to you. And I believe that. And I believe that the Lord, you know, and the Holy Spirit is within us. And every word, you know, we will be judged by every word. And so we have an opportunity to bring the right words, the right actions to the people, to do it right, with great zeal and enthusiasm and great passion, to help people to lift it up in spirit, to give them whatever they need, basically. And the Lord knows what they need. We can't read other people's minds, but he will give you the words for the person that you greet. You just never know who it's going to be and what they need. So, my friends, as we close out our show today, again, I want to just take a moment to let you know that it is a privilege and a pleasure and honor to be here at Holy Spirit Radio, and to have the opportunity to touch the hearts and minds of our people out there through the use of the Word of God and tremendous information, you know, that we've been given through poems and readings. And today, you know, the talks that were given at the funeral of President George H.W. Bush. And so it is an honor to be here. I want to wish you a very, very Merry Christmas and a happy and healthy New Year. I want you and your families to experience the joy and the peace of God through the birth of Christ. And I would like you to have that every day into the New Year, my friends. And with that, I just want to close out the show by saying, again, how grateful I am to you for listening. And for Dale and Jane for having us back on the air here at Finding God in Prison and Holy Spirit Radio. And for Frank and his family, we wish you the best, too. And thank you for producing our show. My friends, we just have a couple of seconds here. So God bless you. And we'll see you next time here at Finding God in Prison. Keep us in prayer, and I want to thank you for listening today. Merry Christmas.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating hope.